Welcome to the Economic Week in Review for September 16th through 20th, 2006. My name is Jonathan Andrew Walter. You may read show notes and references accompanying this podcast at jawspeak.com. Last week was a week of contrasts. Sharp declines in energy prices brought good news on inflation, with prices declining for both consumers and producers. The housing market got a boost, although very few analysts, were ready to celebrate. Leading economic indicators were up, but the overall trend remained downward. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average celebrated the 19th anniversary of the 1987 crash by closing above 12,000 for the first time ever. For the week, the S&P 500 was virtually flat, ending at 1369. The yield of the 10-year U.S. Treasury note fell 3 basis points to 4.78%. Inflation. Falling oil prices meant good news for consumers and producers. In September, the Consumer Price Index, that's the CPI, fell for the first time this year, dropping 0.5%. Comparing this with September 2005, the CPI was up 2.1%. Factoring out energy and food costs, the core CPI rose 0.2%. Year over year, that's a gain of 2.9%. The Producer Price Index, or PPI, dropped 1.3% in September. And this is the first decline since February, but it did post a 0.6% increase when energy and food, the more volatile components, were excluded. Analysts expect the overall declines in both indices may help convince the Federal Reserve Board's Open Market Committee, FOMC, to hold its target for short-term interest rates steady at 5.25% at next week's meeting. OPEC announced production cuts, but the November oil contract ended the week at $56.80 a barrel from $58.57 a barrel last week. The December contract closed this week at about $59 a barrel, and OPEC pretty much didn't make much of a difference looking at how those prices closed. The drop in oil prices, though, did little to boost the Conference Board's index of leading economic indicators. This index rose 0.1% in September, which was well below consensus estimates. It's been declining in 4 of the past 6 months. The indexed annualized growth rate for 3 and 6 month periods did remain negative, as they have for most of this year. Housing starts were up, but the outlook still is gloomy. There were signs of life in the housing market in September, but not enough to ease economists' fears of a nationwide housing slump. New residential construction rose 5.9% to an annualized rate of 1.77 million units. This beat expectations. Housing starts declined in the Northeast and the West, but rose sharply in the South. Overall outlook remained dismal, with permits for new housing construction, which is a primary gauge of future activity, was down 6.3% for the month. If you compare this with September of 2005, new housing starts declined almost 18%. Industrial production ended its winning streak by falling to a worse-than-expected 0.6% in September. This is the first monthly decline since January. August's original minus 0.1% estimate was revised upward, barely though, only to 0.0%. Manufacturing output was down 0.3%, and utilities production was off sharply at down 4.4%. However, mining production did rise 0.7%. Capacity utilization, which is a measure of the extent to which available industrial production capacity is in use, fell 0.6% to 81.9%. The FOMC's meeting on Tuesday and Wednesday will be watched closely, coming up for next week, as will Friday's scheduled release of the advanced gross domestic product estimates for the third quarter. Also on the docket are reports on existing home sales for September, coming out on Wednesday, durable goods orders for September on Thursday, and new home sales for September also on Thursday. Taking a look at the earnings, just tack this on at the end for last week, those did dominate the headlines. Reports were undeniably good as well. Through Friday, about 32% of the S&P 500 companies have reported. And, this is the good part, over 70% reported earnings above expectations. It now appears as if aggregate operating earnings will come in with a 16 to 17% gain for the quarter. This is above the 14% gain expected prior to the start of earnings growth reports. There have been very few warnings also that fourth quarter profits will not meet expectations, which is another good sign. The S&P 500 index for the record, is trading at a 16.2 time operating earnings through third quarter data. So it's at 16.2 times operating earnings through third quarter data. Thank you for listening. Please leave me a comment, question, or rants at the blog jawspeak.com. If you want, you can email me jaw@jawspeak.com. And I hope you leave a comment. I'd like to hear from you. Maybe ask a question, send me an email with a MP3 or other format. I can put that on the air.